flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you want to start with the hiring of Bill Johnson? I've got a good friend named Bill Johnson. I just wonder what it means to you. What role is he exactly going to fulfill? Is he a defensive assistant? Is he the defensive line coach, or more of a, do they need more help than just Bill at the defensive line?
I don't believe he's going to be the D-line coach, but certainly appears like the Bears are going to wait till they have the whole thing buttoned up, or most of it anyway, before they sort of pull back the curtain on this. But yeah, Bill Johnson, I think it's going to be a sort of a senior defensive assistant. Don't believe he'll be in charge of the D-line as it is. Does have experience working with Dennis Allen previously.
We heard from Dennis Allen yesterday. We heard from Declan Doyle yesterday. Brad, what was your impression? Let's start with Dennis Allen, the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, Dennis Allen's a guy that comes with a ton of experience, right? He's seen pretty much everything offenses are going to throw at you. I think, you got the feeling that he's got a decent idea of what they've got on the roster right now because he had time out, right? The Saints fired him, I think, in early November, mid-November. So he's been able to kind of plot his next move a little bit, had some success a couple years there in New Orleans where they had a highly ranked defense when they had some really good players. Like, it's like anything else, the best defensive coordinators usually have a lot of the best players. So we'll see how his role might impact a little bit of roster roster decisions moving forward, kind of what he's looking for, but he likes some of the pieces in the secondary, which sounds an awful lot like what Ben Johnson said when he was introduced last week.
Yeah, it was interesting because Ben Johnson said that he didn't know him very well and they'd only kind of gotten together recently. And when you heard from Dennis Allen, he basically talked about his relationship with Dan Campbell and with Aaron Glenn and how they all played together over various years at Texas A&M. And then they all coached together under Sean Payton with the Saints. And then he said that he relied on their input about Ben Johnson and Ben relied on their input about him. And the two of them decided it would be a good fit, basically through the mutual friends that they have. Obviously, you know, you're going to need to have a defensive coordinator when you go into that meeting as a head coach who's your defensive guy. And he had already they'd made contact at the end of the season. And so when the hiring season starts during the playoffs, there is Ben Johnson able to drop the name of Dennis Allen as his defensive guy.
Right, and that's what coaches, they have to have a list of names. Hey, I am connected with these guys. I believe I can get these guys to come join me and work with me. How do you feel about these names? Like you're kind of bouncing them off the people that you're interviewing with. And obviously Dennis Allen was a name that I'm sure the Bears were happy to have him included on that list.
So, Brad, Declan Doyle also met the media, made his first impression. Curious what you thought of that. But also what Sean Payton had to say to you. It's in ChicagoTribune.com this morning about why Declan Doyle was such a hot commodity.
Yeah, Sean was interesting because he kind of stressed that he was really intelligent for a young coach, but also had the ability to interact well with people on the staff, I think implying that sometimes you get these guys who are super football geniuses and they don't know how to get along with everybody. But Declan was able to pull that off. He said for a young coach, he had a knack for knowing when to speak up and maybe when not to interject, which is probably important in a large setting when you got a bunch of football coaches that have been doing it for an awful long time. And then he talked about, you know, attention to detail and how Declan would kind of have some just short notes for him that he would leave on his desk at various times. And he's like, you know, the stuff was good. So he leaned into some of what Declan Doyle was producing for him in New Orleans, and that's why when he had the opportunity in Denver, Sean Payton gave him a position to coach for the first time tight ends.
Why was Richard Hightower retained?
Well, they got better during the second half of the season. You know, I think that's you saw young players develop on special teams. So I think that was something that they liked, the idea of having a guy on staff that was familiar and comfortable with the roster and could maybe educate some of the new coaches. Okay, this guy, you know, good at this. This guy learns this way. You know, a lot of different things Richard can provide, not only Ben Johnson, but other coaches on the staff.
All right, Brad, so you were in Mobile for a couple of days talking to other executives, and I know we're more than a month away from free agency, but you do have an enticing item, and you talked to some people about whether Trey Smith, who once was thought to be a guy, the Chiefs guard, that would not get to free agency, they would not let him do that, might become more available, might be on the open market, and if he is, obviously he becomes somebody the Bears would be very interested in.
Yeah, I think the Bears and a lot of teams would have considerable interest in Trey Smith. Kansas City's got a really good problem to have. They've got a host of young players that need to be paid and might not be able to get it done with all of them. It's still possible. No one's sure which way this thing's going to go. You know, I talked to one GM And he's like, yeah, it's possible it could get to the market. He said that the $20 million guard scares some teams. Like, some teams don't want to go that high for an interior offensive lineman. And you can understand why. If Trey Smith makes it to market, you're talking about a guy at the top of his game, entering the prime of his career with a clean injury history. You're going to have no shortage of teams with a lot of cap space interested in talking to him. Like, this, you know, it's really easy to play connect the dots between the Bears and Trey Smith if indeed he gets to free agency. There's going to be other teams that are going to be in the mix there for him. And one thing to keep in mind is the Chiefs weren't particularly driven to keep cornerback Aljarius Sneed at last March, and they executed a tag and trade with him, used the franchise tag on him, and then came up with a trade with the Tennessee Titans that involved a third-round pick in this year's draft, I believe, and I think they swapped seventh-round picks as well. But in that scenario, the Chiefs could have some control over where Trey Smith was to go if indeed he's not in their future.
Did you see any talent down there, Brad? You know, was there anybody, especially among the offensive linemen, maybe that's an area of need where you believe there are, you know, some hidden gems?
Yeah, there was, a lot of interesting players there, especially some offensive linemen. I don't know that there were, there wasn't a tackle that you're looking at and saying, oh boy, this guy's going to be gone in the first five or six picks. One guy who jumped out immediately was Gray Zabel in North Dakota State. Left tackle in college. A lot of people think he's going to wind up being a guard in the NFL. He played all three spots this week in Mobile. He was lined up at center as well. I talked to him about that. He said he snapped the first couple years in high school, and then, or the last couple years in high school, and then he was like sort of their emergency long snapper at the start of his college career. And he said snapping the football is sort of like riding a bicycle. Real sturdy, powerful. I thought it was a pretty good group overall. Belton, a left tackle out of NC State, I think is had a nice week there. We'll see how the game goes. But there were a bunch of guys. Again, not that slam dunk guy that is going to go at the top of the draft, but there's some depth, and there's some depth at some key positions, offensive line, running back, tight end. And I think when you talk about what the Bears need to do offensively, they're probably going to require some help in all of those positions. And with the draft having depth, that's a good thing for Ryan Poles and his staff.
Tulane coach, offensive line coach Dan Rashard expected to interview with the Bears today. Brad, we've talked about him in the past. His name keeps coming up. We know that they also spoke to Justin Fry, the Ohio State offensive line coach. As staff kind of comes together, is there a pecking order? Do you think that they're leaning one way or another?
The only reason I'd give Rochard maybe a slight edge here is the fact that he's got the link to the Saints. He spent a decade coaching in New Orleans, and we've seen how the background of a handful of these hires that have been made have come from that place as well. So you know that Dan Campbell's kind of giving references for some of these guys that he spent a lot of time with for Ben Johnson. And so that combined with the Saints had a really good offensive line for a run there while Dan was in charge of that group, you would think he's an attractive candidate for that reason. Is anybody ahead of another? I'd only be guessing at that. And, you'd think by this time next week they'll have probably most of these wrapped up. And who knows, man? I mean, they could get a handful of them done between now and Monday.
What was the general consensus down there regarding the Super Bowl? What is the did you talk to any people just in passing? And there's so many executives down there.
Yeah, I talked to some people. Had a couple conversations about it yesterday as well. You've got the Chiefs have got the best coach, right? Mm. And they've got the best quarterback. That being said, I think people give an awful lot of credit to Vic Fangio and for and what he's been able to do and accomplish. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I hope it's entertaining, right? But the huge stage for Vic Fangio, who's just been an incredible addition to the Eagles. You look at what happened in Miami last year when he was there, and things didn't go great, and it got to the end of the year, and you had some Dolphins players that seemed disgruntled with Vic, and he couldn't connect with the players. Well, it looks like he's connected pretty darn well with them in Philadelphia. Maybe they weren't the right kind of players for Vic in Miami. Maybe that was part of the issue.
Brad, let's go back to what Dennis Allen had to say, and I think it's interesting. I don't know how unusual it is. It probably is just the way things are done in the NFL coaching circles. He referenced Ben Johnson contacting him well before the end of the season when Dennis Allen was unemployed after being fired by the Saints, and basically agreeing to or looking at an alignment there. I don't know if it was specific to the Bears or Chicago, this job, or just in general. Were they going to be aligned regardless of where Ben Johnson went, or was he talking to him specifically about the Bears' opportunity because of the way Dennis Allen referenced the pieces that are already here?
I think they were probably talking in general, right? It's going to be difficult for a head coaching candidate to have a unique list of guys for multiple interviews. You know, and Ben Johnson's the guy who was interviewing with different places. Well, I got Ben I got Dennis Allen if I go to the Bears, and I've got so-and-so if I go, you know, over here. I saw some people have made a lot of this, that it's crazy that this kind of thing would happen during the season. This isn't an interview that Ben Johnson had of Dennis Allen to explore their compatibility and desire to work with one another. This is like, hey, I'm going to have some interviews coming up. You know, are you open to the idea of going with me if I get a job? They probably have a real brief phone conversation, and that's that. I'm not privy to the conversation. I'd guess it went something like that. Because when these guys put together their lists, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. I've had a guy connected with a coach that was getting head coaching interviews here in the past call me, say, hey, do you know what this coach is going on, has got going on? And I said, well, he's looking. And he's like, do you think he would go with this coach? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll send you his phone number. You guys can figure it out. Like these things are loosely and quickly put together. So I don't think there's anything nefarious for the Lions season and the end of it to, Ben Johnson connecting with Dennis Allen.
Brad, when an offensive guy comes into an interview, he's asked, who's your defensive guy?
Oh, yeah,
so
he's got to have him.
He makes an arrangement. Hey, do you mind if I drop your name? I was told by a group of looking for a coach that the same defensive guy was mentioned by two different coaches. So, like, you know, will I work with you? Oh, yeah. Will I work with you?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I know guys that they try to get on multiple lists too, because the thing spins so quickly that you just don't know. And if you're only on the list of one or two guys and they don't get jobs, well, guess what? There's a good chance you're not going to have a job.
Brad, when you pass along your number, do you get a commission on that if a guy gets a job?
No. No.
I just wonder if you connect the two, you're kind of brokering a deal.
No, he's doing a favor, and then he'll and then he will come back and ask for that favor return. Ah. It's like a Godfather scenario.
Yeah. Okay.
With Big Z in the NFL.
Just wondering, you know. I wonder how that works. Looking out for you, Brad.
All right.
How quickly will this be resolved? Do you think it'll be resolved next week? We'll know what the coaching staff looks like. And then
I think they'll be close. Yeah. I've seen these things in the past where you're 2 weeks in and you think it's all done. And then, you know, at the end, you get a list from the team. Oh, they got these three other positions I didn't know they were even going to have.
Right.
Look at these, you know, but they're, the big ones now, it's the O-line coach, the D-line coach, and and then they've got to get together and take the appropriate time to do a review of the roster in place before they then try to quickly get up to speed for free agency.
And you really don't get rid of guys until you have to. Yeah.
Yeah, and the personnel staff's already probably prepared for these free agency meetings. Like, they've been gearing up for that all along. But, the coaches are going to play a role in that. And certainly, if you've got players that are going to be free agents that have had experiences with coaches that you now have in the building, you're going to compare notes on that. And you're right. You don't get rid of players that you're potentially going to unload until you have to. The Bears will make some cuts here at some point. When, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
They seem to be upbeat about it, and it'll be interesting.
Good stuff, Brad.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to take the fight to the offense and not let the offense dictate the tempo to us? We're going to be aggressive. We're going to challenge everything. We're going to play the game the right way. We're going to play it tough, physical, you know, brand of football.
That's Dennis Allen. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. That was the introductory news conference from the Bears' new defensive coordinator. Really interesting stuff. Just the idea that the way they got together and the ideas that he has. I do think he'll be more aggressive. There'll be more blitzing. There'll be a different style. I don't know. The same, roughly the same personnel. They've got to do some upgrades, no question.
Yeah, the personnel won't likely change.
Right.
in terms of the main guys, your edge rusher is still going to be Montez Sweat and whoever else is opposite him.
Mm-hmm.
Your main middle linebacker, unless they surprise us with a salary cap slash, will be Tremaine Edmonds. Maybe will be at a different contract. Who knows? He's a $17 million cap hit. But Jalen Johnson is going to be your cornerback. So those three guys at every level are going to be the same. How they fill in the rest of the open slots and how they address the glaring need, I think, on the defensive line especially, will be telling. Because depending on that, you know, this is football 101. If you can get a pass rusher with your front four, you don't have to blitz
right,
as much.
Right.
Dennis Allen, you know, if you look at the numbers historically with him compared to, say, Matt Eberflus, if Matt Eberflus blitzed one out of every five downs, around 20%-ish, Dennis Allen is probably one out of every four downs. So that's not a huge difference. The man coverage behind the blitz or behind the front seven is a little bit different in terms of emphasis. But if the secondary is the strength of your team, you feel very good about it. And Dennis Allen sounded like he felt very good about the pieces that are here.
I agree with everything you're saying. I wonder, and they seem to have some depth at corner and safety because of the injuries that they've had to battle through and the – and I guess some of the subpar play, if we want to put it that way.
Well, Tyrick Stevenson, is a guy who's got a big offseason. Now,
sure
the addition of Al Harris and their shared agency or whatever that they're have in common. Is
Al Harris could help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could help him.
What is their link? Their link is that they have the same agency?
I believe that's it.
Okay.
But Al Harris has been around a long time, played a lot. Listen, John Hoke is a great secondary coach. This will be maybe a guy that he relates to more. I don't know.
Maybe, because Hoke had his hands full with Tyrick Stevenson. Yes. He was a difficult guy to coach, even for the best of them.
Yes.
And that isn't a huge surprise to anybody who watched Tyrick Stevenson experience ups and downs and was never the same player after the Fail Mary. And I think that is something that you can't let one play dictate the course of your season and by virtue dictating the course of your career. You've got to be more resilient than that. So that's the challenge for Al Harris and Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson. Frankly, he's the head coach. He's going to be one who sets the accountability tone. And certainly there wasn't one that was a strong – there wasn't a strong locker room in terms of accountability or a strong coaching staff last year, and that's why it had to change.
Are you surprised? Two things. Are you surprised at how Sean Payton's fingerprints are all over this coaching staff, right?
It's a very New Orleans feel. I mean, they have a Cajun accent by the time the season starts because of all the New Orleans flavor. It just feels very... very
I'm going to tell you what to do.
Cajun. I guess I am a little surprised at that. I didn't expect Ben Johnson to have as many people who are affiliated with the Sean Payton regime, almost to the point where it's more of an influence than you think about Dan Campbell. I know they're both kind of related in that way. Every coaching staff takes on a shape of its own, has influences that are... Matt Eberflus brought some people from Indianapolis with him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know yet.
I mean, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just asking. I mean, again, when you get somebody that was on his staff, it was, you know, worked for him on defense, of course you're going to have defensive connections there. But, you know, just the idea, I wonder how Ben Johnson – learned about Declan Doyle or settled on Declan Doyle, if he settled at all. And I'm wondering how you felt more than anything else about Declan Doyle. And we are all, you know, we all reference our own experience, but him talking about developing Caleb Williams in relation to the Bo Nix experiment.
That can only be a positive.
Yeah.
They're different quarterbacks. But it can only be a positive because you have an example in Bo Nix about a rookie
that did very well for himself.
Yeah, he developed quickly and he surprised a lot of people. And whether or not Declan Doyle was part of that, I don't think that he, as a tight ends coach, would be. But he also observed the way that Sean Payton would have But handled
he did use those five characters, the smallest name in NFL history.
Yeah. Bo Nix, you like that.
That's my like.
Was Bo Nix at the Pro Bowl thing last night?
I would doubt it.
Drake May was there.
Huh. Well, I think Drake May made the Pro Bowl, right? Wasn't he?
He didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Isn't he a replacement player?
Drake May did not make the Pro Bowl.
What is he doing there, then?
He was a replacement on the Pro Bowl roster. He was available.
He's there. I mean, he's going to be at the game.
I don't really think Drake May made the Pro Bowl.
So it doesn't go on his Wikipedia?
It will. Okay.
Well, I mean, okay, Olin, I understand the difference between being elected to
Don't do that.
I mean, I do know the difference between a guy that was
Drake May had,
he was willing. That's the difference, right?
He was available.
He's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Was Mitch Trubisky a Pro Bowl quarterback?
He was once.
Drake May started 12 games. He completed 66% of his passes.
I'm sorry. Are you telling me he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback?
No, he is, I guess. 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 2,200 yards. I guess if that qualifies as a Pro Bowl quarterback, then you can call him what you want.
What it qualifies is he's going to play in the Pro Bowl. Am I wrong about that?
It kind of destroys the label, though.
It makes a mockery?
It does.
Okay.
It kind of does.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Olin always pointed out.
He's an ascending quarterback. He's going to be one day maybe a top
12
quarterback.
He now has that designation, yes?
Forever.
So that's pretty good.
Forever. I guess I would lean into it if he was if it was me, I definitely would have it on my business card and I'd wear my jersey out to lunch and all those things.
Wow. That's a gratuitous shot.
I would. I mean, it'd be like, hey, look at me. I'm Pro Bowl quarterback. I made the Pro Bowl. I don't know that Drake May, Bo Nix, who would you rather have going forward?
Drake May.
Yeah, probably me too. But we digress. Yes.
Why did you ask that question if you agree with it?
I want to know if you agreed. Yeah, not fairly obvious. I think that Bo Nix had a pretty good year, and he's also playing for Sean Payton, which that matters.
Coaching matters. Yes, I agree.
And that's why you're excited about what Caleb Williams has in front of him, because Ben Johnson, what he can do for Caleb Williams' career, maybe even the inclusion of Declan Doyle. There's a lot of influences now on Caleb Williams again. There are a lot of people who will have a say or input into his development and into his day-to-day, week-to-week activities. And so you got your quarterback's coach, JT Barrett, highly regarded. You've got Declan Doyle, offensive coordinator. You've got Press Taylor, the passing game coordinator. Yep. Although quarterbacks at Hallis Hall and the passing game coordinator,
they don't communicate.
They rarely pass each other in the hallway. So, and then you have, obviously, the coach, Ben Johnson, who will be the loudest voice and the most impactful influence.
Since you started it, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, who would you take?
Well, that's a really loaded question in Chicago. You just really want to back me into the corner and get the text line alive.
I still would
take Caleb Williams.
Okay, good.
I still would take Caleb Williams. I understand.
I'm aiming for something here.
Okay, I would take Caleb Williams.
Okay, Drake May or Caleb Williams. Excuse me, Pro Bowl quarterback Drake May or Caleb Williams.
Still Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I'm sticking with the idea that he will be, in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, the best quarterback of the 2024 draft class.
Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Finally, he said the two names. Jaden and Daniels.
I am not a hater.
What does that mean?
I think you're trying to get me to disparage somebody. I'm not.
I'm not trying to get you to disparage anyone. I'm just curious about Bo Nix or Drake May. Excuse me. Pro Bowl quarterback Drake May.
I think I would take Drake May.
Okay,
Drake May. You
said that too.
Yeah, I think talent-wise, I think Bo Nix, and this isn't fair to him because I didn't watch every Bronco game, but it feels like, looks like, he's as much of a product of the infrastructure he fell into and the head coach that was calling the plays and developed him in the right way. I think he's as much a product of that as anything. And so I think Drake May probably had to overcome more obstacles as a rookie. His rookie season was more similar to Caleb Williams than maybe any other rookie first rounder, just because they had a rough go of it in New England.
All right, we've got Joe Fortenbaugh will join us next. We'll get to talk to our guy. He is Mr. Special and Mr. Happy. What happened now?
The text line's getting me because I picked Caleb over Jaden Daniels. Yes, I did.
So now you're blaming me.
Yes, I'm going to blame you.
When you brought up the whole comparison between Drake May
I guess I deserve that.
Bo Nix.
I deserve that. Let's talk to Joe.
It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love to talk to our man in Vegas, even if he's in Connecticut. When we're talking to him, you'll always be our man in Vegas, even when you were in San Francisco. It's been a long, long journey with Joe Fortenbaugh. And
long, arduous journey.
We've watched you grow up, buddy. You've been all over God's green
always
acre.
Always fun, Joe.
And Joe joins us now on the Score Hotline, which is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire at Aturo.com. Hey, Joe!
What a start. It's like, I got to tell you, I really, really look forward to this conversation every week. It's a good time, right? It's a good time. Forget about the wins, the losses, and the phone rings, and I come running off the set to make sure I'm ready to go because I want to be sharp, and I pick up the phone, and I know it's Dustin, and it's just like, how's it going? Like, very excited, and the first thing I hear is, what happened to Kuzma on that rebounds prop last night? Because we didn't even come close. God forbid we crashed the glass or put in any effort against the Lakers last night as the Wizards get blown out again. So that's what I'm dealing with. I'm reeling. We're pointing out losers right away. We got to shake it off. We got to keep moving forward. Good morning, Chicago. It's great to be with you.
That was a crazy game. How about Bronny going wild with scoring 5 points?
Bronny, proud father, fist bumping. It was a career high, by the way, the 5 points.
It was.
That's when you know your defense got big problems, right? Like, you got big problems when in an NBA game, guys who shouldn't be in the NBA are putting up career highs on you. Like, that's the type of game where you go back into the locker room afterwards and you look around and you say, hey, man, like, we can't be having this. We can't be having non-NBA players showing up here, putting up career highs, beating us by 40. And I'd imagine even if that's said, everyone looks around and it's like, yeah, whatever. These are guaranteed contracts. We're good. And then everyone goes out, has a good time, and they get ready to get blown out again. Like, it's amazing. Like, we're talking about, let's move the product from 12 minutes to 10 minutes. Yeah. Like, here's the issue. I don't care about your minutes or anything like that. I care about the fact that I spent an entire day on TV talking about how much I like the Grizzlies over the Rockets and how I was excited about that game because they're the 2 and 3 seeds in the Western Conference. And then an hour before tip, by the way, no one knew about it. John Morant injured. He's out. Say, well, are you kidding me? You have to let me know an hour before. But, of course, we're going to wait late because we want people to buy tickets and show up for the game. So we're going to pull the rug out from under him 1 hour before tip because apparently he just got hurt. We had no idea. It literally just happened. That's the thing we got to clean up with this, man. Like, there's no sense of urgency. But, like, that's the type of thing. You can't keep bamboozling the fans. My kids desperately, of course, they have such fancy taste. They want to go see LeBron when he's in Boston in March. And, of course, tickets are through the roof. And I'm looking at this, and it's like, I want to deliver for the kids. But God forbid we show up for this game and LeBron doesn't play. I'm going to get knifed by a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Joe, that happened to us. We had an event where we went out to see LeBron at a game at the end of the year, did not play. Still a fun event, you know. Enjoyed watching the Bulls win, but it was embittering for some people.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Like, some of the, at least give us the heads up. Get him on the injury report is doubtful, and give us the heads up. But the idea, like yesterday, no one saw it coming with Morant, and then an hour before you rule him out, we're just sitting here like, yeah, okay, I understand things happen, but this happens so frequently. Like, rule number one, take care of your customers. That's the one thing that this product seems to not care about.
Will that be affected, do you think? Have you given much thought to what Adam Silver proposed? We debated it, Joe, from a competitive standpoint, from a fan enjoyment standpoint. Is there a gambling component to having games be reduced by 8 minutes?
Oh, of course. Now, first off, this is the type of stuff that professional bettors live for, right? We want chaos. We want things to be turned upside down, because when there's chaos, the bookmakers have to scramble as well. The bookmakers are in the best possible situation when everything goes off the way it's supposed to go off. All the players, all the coaches, the location, the travel, the situation, they're aware of all the information. They can set the best possible price. But introduce a little chaos, and that's where things get interesting. So the first thing people will think of, including the bookmakers, will be, all right, we're going to reduce the amount of minutes. That means we need to reduce the amount of points on props. We need to reduce the over-under. We got to make all these adjustments. What you want to be thinking about are three and four levels down. If you've ever seen the movie Inception, you want to be down in that ski base level, right, where the guy's in the hospital. You want to be down there thinking, all right, there's going to be less minutes, but there's going to be less substitutions, and then maybe you're going to have a star player playing more minutes in the first quarter. So as a result, I want to go over his first quarter scoring prop, because instead of getting pulled out at the seven-minute mark, they're just going to let him go the full 10 minutes. That's the stuff you want to look for with changes like this. If a game gets moved, or a date gets pushed back, or a COVID year, right, with baseball, no one in the stands. Those are the things you want to look for, the chaos. How can you take advantage of the chaos?
All right, Joe, let's get to the Super Bowl, because the line opened. Yes, it opened at 1-5, right? And yeah, it hasn't moved yet. Is it going to move? When do you recommend making a wager on that game, if indeed one's coming? And I know you're working on the props. I know there's more props than is known to man. Dustin is out here, you know, taping, going through various YouTube tapes, trying to figure out the length of the national anthem. I'm desperately working on the Kendrick Lamar set list. These are bets, yes, you can't even get down, but they're my favorites.
We'll have everything for you next week. I'll throw you a couple on the way out the door, so some of the people can get some action out of this, rather than listen to me rant about my problems with the NBA. We got to give you some value as well, people. So we'll get there. Here's what my projection is for the side. Kansas City's been sitting 1.5 pretty much all week, right? Now, there's a difference between odds making and bookmaking. Odds making is coming up with the number, right? Bookmaking is taking into account the action that's going to come in, and how you're going to manage your risk. How are you going to manage the portfolio? Anyone I've talked to about five different people on this who create models that project point spreads for these games. They all have the Eagles as a favorite or pick them. I know two guys that have the Eagles as a 2-point favorite in this game.
Wow.
So they're just sitting there watching. Now, the reason we see Kansas City minus 1.5 is if you hang Philly minus 2, you're going to get an onslaught of Kansas City money, because Mahomes is an underdog, and Mahomes this and Mahomes that. So you got to manage your risk here, which is why you move the price a little bit to account for that. So what I think is going to happen is you have these guys that want to play Philly, and they're going to wait. They're going to hope the public pushes this up to 2, maybe 2.5, who knows how high, and then you're going to see Philly money, because we saw this in the AFC Championship game. Chiefs were sitting 1.5, 2 all week. Less than an hour before kickoff, a wave of Buffalo money hit the market, knocked it all the way down to pick 'em. That was not public money. That was professional money jumping on Buffalo. Now, it didn't work out, but Buffalo could have won that game. The point is, that was at Arrowhead, okay? The Super Bowl's on a neutral, and Philadelphia is power ranked better than Buffalo. So I think the same thing's going to happen. At some point as we approach kickoff, you're going to see the Philly money hit the market. So if you like Kansas City, I think you can wait a little bit. If you like Philly, you might want to hang on for the 2. Moneyline plays are all good, but we're seeing some under money as well, fellas. Keep an eye on that, which is rare. You normally see under money late, because we know the public is going to bet the over, so it bumps the price up and we play the under late. Not this case. The guys are getting down now. It's already down to 48.5, which is very telling. So when you're looking at some of these props and you're thinking about a potential shootout, just know the early action is siding with the under.
What's going on this weekend, Joe? Any highlights? Anything football?
You got a UFC match, right?
Oh, okay.
We've got UFC in Saudi Arabia tomorrow. Yes. That's going to be during the day. So pay attention. Like, that's during the day. Now, here's the problem. Your boy is just working himself to the bone during football season. And here we go. My first actual weekend off. I work six and a half days a week all through the season. My first weekend off. And my wife has some gala I have to go to on Saturday, which, A, eliminates me from the UFC, and B, eliminates me from the Royal Rumble, which I want to watch that tomorrow night. So now I got to go to this gala. Now, look, we're helping the dogs, okay? She's on the board of directors for this Dog Star Rescue. We're taking care of puppies. We're doing great stuff. But your boy wants to see the Royal Rumble, and he can't.
You're in the right place, Joe.
Clear.
You're in the right place.
Very clear.
It's a good cause.
Do not try to stream the Royal Rumble at the gala. Keep your phone in your pocket. Do not stream the Royal Rumble. So my goal here is in the UFC, I do like Izzy in the main event. I think we're getting a cheap price because he's lost 3 of 4, but the competition is way better than what he's going to be facing in this one against Nassourdine Imavov. And then on top of that, David Benavidez and David Morrell fight boxing Saturday night as well. That everyone thinks that fight's going the distance. It's like +170 to not go the distance. I'd make that wager. I know the power hasn't necessarily gone with Benavidez as he's going up in class, but I think Morrell is going to tire after the opening 6 rounds, and then there's going to be an opportunity to put this one away. So I'd go no distance on the Morrell-Benavidez fight. It's about +170, and I play Izzy Adesanya in the main event of the UFC, -160.
You're the best, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Love you, boys. Love you, Chicago. No Royal Rumble spoilers. I don't want anyone tweeting me. I don't want any of this nonsense. I got to wait till Sunday morning so I can watch it with my kids.
Oh, your poor children. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. That's Joe Formbaugh. And that next week will be the extravaganza.
Next week will be, all the props.
Through the roof. And we'll have fun with it. We got Kendall Gill next. We'll talk some Bulls, Mully and Haw on the score.